Ezekiel 37:7. Ezekiel 37:7. I'm just going to bounce off of this. I'm not going to use the whole dry bone theory that we've preached from. I just want to bounce off of this one. And Ezekiel said, the Lord had asked him if these bones could live. He said, Lord, thou knowest, and you know the story. So he said, well, prophesy to the bones. Preach to the bones. Preach to the bones. Amen. So I prophesied as I was commanded. You see, I didn't really feel like it. I mean, preaching to bones, they don't have any ears, you know. So he said, I did what I was commanded. Sometimes, let me tell you something, sometimes, that's a sermon right there. Sometimes you got to just do what you're commanded. If you want it to work, just do what the word says. It'll work every time. I don't feel like doing it, but if he says do it, you just do what's commanded. He said, why don't you keep my commandments, right? So sometimes you just need to do what you're commanded because it looks like useless. But he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, see, once you get into doing what God has asked you to do, then you start seeing some results. Then you don't mind. Hallelujah. Dry bone. He probably got into that sermon. But right at first, I'm just going to do what I'm asked to do. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want to talk about get it together tonight. Get it together. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just, maybe all of you. We just gotta get it together. There's just gotta be a coming together. Hallelujah. Even before Israel died, he called all of his sons together and said, look, boys, we gotta get this thing together. We are the children of Israel. Hallelujah. We got to get it together. And I'm telling you, as a church, we need to get it together. And all churches around, we need to get it together. We're letting all of the world and all the filthiness of the world have the voice, and here we can't even get it together. Can't even get our own people to agree. Oh, God, help us. Lord, we come before you tonight. Help us to have that spirit and the mind to work together. Hallelujah. For if we don't have that mind you have, we will never come together. But Lord, where that mind of Christ is, there is singleness, there is oneness, there is unity. And we ask for that mind to be in each one of us here tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Get it together. There's no need to go any further until you get it together. See, the prophesied of these bones, but until the bones come together, we don't need tissue, we don't need a heart, we don't need lungs, we need a backbone. Yeah, what we need, the church needs, is a backbone. It's like we say, you need to get a backbone. And we need that in the church. We need a skeleton. We need a structure. And that's what the bones were. They were structure. So if you don't have structure, you don't have anything. You're not going to do anything without a structure, a plan. And so he prophesies to the bones, and there was a coming together. And without this coming together, it would never prosper. It would never go any further. They would never be this exceeding great army. It would be like jello. They would never be a great army. But eventually, the Bible says, Brother Pete, they stood upright and became an exceeding great army. Why? Started off with the bones. And not just that, but each bone came to his bone. Can you imagine if the ankle bone went to the wrist bone and the rib bone went to the skull bone? I mean, what was that? But each bone came to its bone. So in this illustration that we're reading here, and there's some deeper meanings about Israel and the restructuring of Israel, but tonight I want to talk to you about you coming together. Because this was a battlefield, if you will, of carcasses and probably drug out by animals and you no telling what, of just scattered bones. But the Bible says that when he began to prophesy the word of the Lord, something began to happen. And I want to tell you, it all happens, starts happening with the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. It didn't happen till he said it. So everything that's going to happen is going to happen because it's the word of the Lord. Because what he says will always occur. So he said, prophesy. And when he began to prophesy, a noise began to come about and a shaking. And most of the time when you read about anything going to happen, there was always in the day of Pentecost. Let's go there. Hallelujah. A sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were all together in one place. All the bones were there. All 120 of them were there. In one place, in one mind, one accord, and suddenly there came the sound from a rushing mighty wind. They all began to speak in tongues. And when this was noised abroad, they came together. Right? All the nations. So when God, the word of the Lord, ultimately brings things together, it can first tear them apart, but it'll ultimately bring them together. The bride of Christ will always come together. Amen. When the five virgins went inside the door was shut. It separated five out, and but there's going to be a coming together of the church. And the further we get into the world that we live in, we're going to find out who the church really is. Can you say amen? But due to conflict, these bones were scattered all across this whole valley. But as, he said, as I prophesied. That's important to understand, Brother Bowden, because if we always going to wait till, I'm just going to go to church there and I'm just going to hear what the preacher's got to say. But if you'll begin to move as the word comes forth, you know, I'm not one of these preachers that gets out on a limb too much and says, first one up here, going, you know. But if I was, Lord, I'd be the first one up there. I want to move along with the Spirit. As I prophesied, things begin to happen. And so as you hear the word of the Lord, you don't wait for the conclusion of things. You begin to move as God's word begins to move on your heart. And whenever God moves, there's always going to be something you have to do. It's not just him moving. You have to move too, right? Look at all the cases in the Bible. You had to do something. I wanted to preach a sermon. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the title of it so that I won't ever preach it. The big if. If. The biggest word in the Bible is if. Because he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will turn from them, and if they will repent, then I will. There's a lot of iffy people. Right? But God's waiting on you. God is waiting on you. And the first thing that happened, these bones began to come together and they began to have structure so that they could stand eventually on their own two feet. Do you know what pastoring is really about? It's me holding your hand till you can stand on your own two feet. I'm not saying you don't never need a pastor. I'm not saying that. But I am telling you, my job is to help you along, teach you along, and help you learn to crawl and to walk and to stand on your own two feet. The Bible says that these bones came together, every bone to its bone, and all the fragments that was out there and all the little bones, the finger bones, all that was scattered abroad, they all came together. And no matter how small it is, my brother and sister, you need every bone you got in your body. Every bone you have in your body serves a purpose. And it's so true in the church as well. Everybody's got a part in this church. Everybody is, you say, well, Lord, I don't do much. Let me tell you, that little bone right there, I'd miss it if it wasn't there. It's important. And so if we don't get it together, you don't get it together, then what happens is you'll stay fragmented. And unless you get it together, you never have life. You just exist. Are you understanding? Too many people are existing and have no life. All the bones were there. They were in existence, but they had no life until they got it together. And when you get your act together, sir or ma'am, then God can prosper you. God can bring you to new levels and new heights you've never seen. But until you get it together, you're just going to exist. And I don't want to be in existence. God has never been a monument. He's been on the move. A monument is something that you talk about what he used to do. I want to talk about what he's doing. This whole chapter that in Ezekiel was about becoming one again. Because Israel was now fragmented, and now he's talking about them becoming one again. It was time for them to be single again, come together as one. I preached a sermon one time in a marriage and called it, "I'm single again." I'm single again. You say, "Well, that sounds crazy. I'm single again." No. You see, when you get married, it said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and cleave to his wife, and these two shall be one." So what happens is when you marry, you become one again. And if you're not one, then you're two. And anytime there's two, it doesn't do good. And so he was talking about Israel becoming one again. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. Because if you don't think the same, act the same, you're going to fuss and fight. You know, if you'll take a small kitten and a small puppy and put them together and let them be raised together, they will play together, they'll act together, they'll both claw at the ball, they'll both dig holes, they'll both carry the ball. They feed off each other and they become like one. But you go bring my dog a cat, and you're going to see the biggest fight you ever saw in your life. They can't exist together. They're not one. But if we'll come together, amen, my brothers and sisters, as a church, and unite together, we grow together. And so that I understand you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and we work together. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Let's agree on that. But we can agree on some things, can't we? And that's about the kingdom of God. I'm sure everybody here, I wouldn't say this if I didn't think everybody didn't have two eyes, but I think all of you have two eyes, and I hope that they're both functional and that you can see out of both of them. But if you can't, then I understand. But God gave us normally two eyes, but the amazing part about these two eyes is they have one vision. You have two eyes, but you have one vision. Now, if one looks east and one looks west, you have two visions. Either that way or that way. And you try to walk around with your two good eyes and cross them, walk around this church. I don't know, but when the Lord healed that man, you remember he prayed for him once and he said, "I see trees as men walking around." I've never really thought of it, but his eyes may have been doing this. You see, because you do that and that's what it looks like. So what he prayed for the second time wasn't his vision. It was good. It was maybe his correction. Because he said, "Now I see everybody clearly." I don't know. That's just Bagot thinking. And so if you have two eyes and they see together, I'm focusing back there on Brother Eisenhower. "How are you, brother? You good? Okay?" So I see. But you see, I don't really see these people over here. Somebody picking their nose over here. I don't see that. But if I had division, let me say it this way, division. Division, two visions, then it'd be hard for me to focus on this and that because I got just one mind and I'm not like a fly. I can look all over the place. And what happens is when you have division, then you have confusion. I'm preaching to you something. You've got confusion because my mind can't comprehend but really one thing at a time. So I need to focus both of my eyes so that the Bible talks about a single eye. So that it's not, even though I have two eyes, it's still singleness. And that's why he talks about no man can serve two masters, right? You either love the one or hate the other, hate the one and love the other. You can't serve two masters. You can't eat from two tables. He said, you can't eat over here and eat over there too. It doesn't work. And so Paul talked about servants and masters, and he told the servants, serve your master with singleness of heart. Don't try to serve another master and this one too. Give this master all of your time, all of your attention. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy strength. You see, singleness. And if you divert yourself in too many ways, you're not going to give him all. And our problem is, in this world, we got this messed up. We need to, this world has said, "Oh, she's acting single." What that means is she's looking for somebody else, or him, whatever. But the church needs to act single in a totally different way. Hallelujah. We need to act together as one army. Like Gideon, you're going to defeat the Midianites as one man. Well, there was 300 of them, but they acted as one man. Hallelujah. Let's read a few scriptures here. Acts chapter 2 and 46. Speaking of the early church, just right after Acts 2 and 38. This is verse 46. And they continued. I like that. Boy, I could preach that. And they continued. Continuing daily. Praise the Lord. With one accord in the temple. You see, it started out how? One mind, one accord, one place. One. And they continued the same way they started out. In fact, it says later they had all things common. One accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness. This is where I'm going tonight. With singleness of heart. They were like one, praising God. Everybody's praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord because of their singleness. Now watch, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, just like he did on the first day. He's adding to the church again. In another place it says, and 3,000 souls was added to the church in one day. It was greater than the day of Pentecost. Wow. So if we do the things... You remember when you came to the Lord? That was always on your mind. It's like Brother Richards, he's not here tonight, but he come by the office, I got to get the Holy Ghost, Lord, I got to have the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was going crazy because he wanted the Holy Ghost so bad. Didn't take long, did it? Now, if he'll continue in that, you see, if you continue in that, and that's Paul talks about in continuing it, if you'll continue that, he'll grow and grow and grow, and he still can't get enough of it. So the Lord added to the church as long as they continued doing every day what they did on that one day. And something is wrong with the body when you have, when it's not single, when your eyes don't see right. If your heart, singleness of heart means singleness of mentality, singleness of thought, singleness of mind. The Bible says where a man's heart is, what else is there? His treasure. Wherever your heart is where your treasure is. Now, last time I checked, none of you told me where your treasure is at. I think I told you this once before, and pardon me if I told you, I'll tell you again. My grandma, before she died, she came to me. Y'all must have heard this story. Well, maybe there's one here hasn't, so I'll tell it again. She come to me and she says, son, I'm going to tell you a secret because I'm going somewhere because where your treasure is, where your secrets are too. Tell you a secret, but don't you tell nobody. Put me under bondage again to that secret. She said, come here. I drove to her house where she was living. I didn't know what she wanted to tell me. She walked me outside and said, under this window, right here. I'll tell you all the rest of it later. Under this window, I buried some money in a jar. And when I die, I want you to come get it. I wouldn't say how much was it, but I was wondering if the lid would rust before I found the money. So this was years. You don't forget those kind of secrets. And so I waited. No, I'm sorry. She lived a long time. And I never told anybody where her treasure was. Because that was going to be what? You understand? My treasure. If you tell somebody, and I'm going with Mr. Sampson in a minute. If you tell somebody where your secrets are and your treasure is, it becomes their treasure too. Woo! I said something there. And so when she died, I was like, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I can't go over there and get me a shovel and dig that up. Somebody may say, what you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm just looking for worms, you know. What am I going to say? So I went to my dad and I said, Dad, there's something I need to tell you. You know, I figure she's not going to know it. I said, Dad, Grandma told me before she died that she had some money that buried at the old home place. I'm not going to give you the address unless y'all go. And it's underneath that window, right? You know, about 2 feet in front of that windowsill. He said, oh, son, she's moved it several times since then. But maybe she told me that last. See, still in the back of my mind. Now, where a man's heart is where his treasure is, right? Samson talked to Delilah, and he began to tell her his secrets. And where his secret was where his treasure was. And she finally said to him, after several digging several holes that she found nothing, how is it that you can say you love me when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hath not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, the Bible says, when she pressed him daily, just like the church grows daily, if you do something daily, you finally get it done. Hallelujah. Daily she pressed him with her words and urged him till his soul was vexed unto death. And the Bible says, and he told her all of his hearts. And here's what he said. Here's the secret. There has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. He had a single vision when he come out of mom's womb. His vision was to judge Israel and to deliver them, to take a Nazarite vow unto God. But now he's got 2 visions. And if my head be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, one more time, for he has shewed me all of his what? Not his secrets, his heart. But what he said was his secrets. And that's where he kept, that's what he kept in his heart. And so Samson went from one vision of being a Nazarite from God out of his mother's womb to having 2 visions. But I'm here to tell you that Miss Delilah gets wrongly accused so many times because Samson did not lose focus with her. He actually lost focus when he started dating the wrong girl. It didn't start with Delilah. His vision, he began to divide his vision because his vision was supposed to be work for God. But then he found a woman in the Philistines, in Timnath, and he told his dad and mom, she pleases me well. I want her. And they said, can't you find anyone of our own people? But his vision was blurred. His purpose was not as important of the first vision as now the second vision. And so he went to after her with all of his heart. Samson's failure did not start with his second, or with Delilah, whom he never married. It started with his first wife. I preached to you a sermon many years ago called The Samson You Never Knew. The Samson You Never Knew. We never thought about Samson. We always talk about Delilah and Samson. But it all started with the other girl, with his first wife. And when you read the story, what you see is that Samson marries this woman. But when he goes in to consummate the marriage, she's not there. And here's why. Judges 14 and 20. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as a friend. Who are your friends? He had used this buddy. This is my buddy. And the father of the daughter gave his wife. Because you wasn't married till you consummated the marriage. And before he could go in and consummate the marriage, The father gave it to his friend, and his friend took his wife. That was the beginning of his revenge. Now his focus is totally on, catch me 300 foxes and I'll burn them. I'll show them the jawbone of that. And what about God? What about the calling? That's what happens when you get two visions. A house divided against itself will never stand. Who are your friends? Who do you call friend? The Bible says that Ammon, you remember Ammon, one of David's sons? He wanted his half-sister Tamar. You know the story. He wanted to sleep with her. And he's like, man, I don't know how. And the Bible said, and Ammon had a friend. And the friend says, I tell you how you get her. You know what happened? You know, he played sick. You know, he got Tamar, and he got what he wanted. But that friend had him killed by listening to him. Because when Abner heard about it, he come and killed him. If he hadn't listened to the friend, he wouldn't have ended up in that shape. I don't know, I'm just throwing this in tonight, that you need to be careful of the people you call friend and companion. If they're part of the world, they're no good. They're no good. You can't depend on them. The world is all about themselves. No friend would take your wife. You call that a friend and a companion? Oh my goodness, let me get out of this bog hole I'm in. Samson spends the rest of his years trying to recompense his own mistakes. All of his life, he spends it all of his life trying to get out of each situation. So that we see at the end of Samson's life, let's read it, Judges 16 and 28. This is what he says. This is the end. This is the very end. And Samson called upon the Lord. That sounds great. And said, O Lord God, remember me. I like that. Like the thief on the cross. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God. That I like that part. Here's the part that I don't like. That I may at once avenge of the Philistines of my two eyes. Samson, my brothers and sisters, went from having singleness of vision to division to no vision. He lost all of it. And he spends the last days and kills him all his own self, trying to avenge himself of his own two eyes. You and I tonight have two eyes. You have one here, and you have one here. And I always say, you're going the way you're looking. You're always going the way you're looking. Right here. You look this way with your eyes, but it's how you're looking right here. And so we look at Matthew 6 and 22. It said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. My whole body's lit up right now. Isn't yours? I mean, just with these two eyes, that light comes into my body, and it's like my whole body is can see. Then he goes on to say, if your eye be evil, you're full of darkness. And so through this singleness of thought, this singleness of mind, that my whole body comes under subjection to what I see in my mind. That's why the Lord said, if a man thinks upon a woman to have her, he's already in his where? Heart. Committed the adultery. And so I don't want double vision. I don't want cross vision. I want to see straight. Amen. I want to shoot straight. Amen. I want to walk straight. Anytime you cross things, it brings us confusion. The cross brought confusion. I don't know about you, but if my eyes get blurry, I get a headache. There's nothing worse than a pastor with a headache. Blurred vision. Don't know what you're doing. Don't know what direction you're headed. I don't know if I should put up with this or not put up with that. I don't know what to tell them. If you don't have anything to pray, pray for your pastor that he has a singleness of mind. A singleness of heart. Samson's soul was vexed, and I'm coming to a close, by two visions. His soul was vexed. Solomon said it this way, vanity, vanity, all things are vanity, and vexation of the soul. That's the ecclesiastical preacher. And what he's preaching is he's saying the things of the world don't do anything but drag the soul down. It perplexes the soul. And I'm telling you, there's nothing harder to work with than someone who's perplexed. There's nothing harder to work with than someone who is vexed. Just to show you, you always go the way you're looking. Abraham told Lot, he said, you go to the right, we got to separate. There's strife among the herdsmen, we got to separate. You go to the right, I go to the left. You go to the left, I go to the right. And the Bible says that Brother Lot got up and looked toward the well-watered plains of, of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pitched his tent in that direction. It's not long, my brothers and sisters, we find he's at the place he was looking. And now, Brother Lot is a gatekeeper. You know what the gatekeepers did? That's where all the gossip went on. That's where all the town talk went on. That's where judgment took place. Whenever they wanted to execute somebody, judgment, they brought them to the gate. The elders come to the gate. They went there. He got to hear it all. Brother Lot got to hear it all. But you say, I'm not doing it. I'm just hearing it. The Bible talks about being a spectator of sin, having pleasure in them that do it. No, I don't do it, but you have pleasure in them that do. Are you still with me tonight? This is just straight preaching. And the Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul with their day-to-day conversation. Wicked conversation. Wicked, it said, conversation. Not just their wicked conversation. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Hallelujah. As they come tonight, vexation occurs when your emotions of a person gets perplexed and you're just not thinking straight. Brother Samson just wasn't thinking straight. Delilah said, I'm going to afflict you. And he said, go ahead and afflict me. I mean, that's what he's telling her. Go ahead and try. He thought he'd outsmart her. But the Bible says a man cannot take fire into his bosom and his clothes not get burned. There's been many a person come home and the spouse goes, where you been? You need, my brothers and sisters, to get it together. There's only one straight line between two indivisible points. You hear me? There's only one straight line between heaven and earth. One. We used to sing an old song, one, one, one. Sister LeBlanc had to help me sing that one too. That's one of them old ones. One way to God. There's one, one, one. One way to God. There's one, one, one. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. That's all it said. And we sang that for hours. When Jacob had his vision, he was scattered. He was perplexed. He was scared. He was fearful. He was trying to obtain the things of God in the wrong way. He was running. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. He was running from his brother Esau. His mom said, you better get out of here. Your brother said he's going to kill you. Whew. Off he goes. And he went as far as he could till the sun went down. I've asked you this question before. Where will you be when the sun goes down? And when the sun went down, he couldn't go no more. What's it going to take for you to say, I just can't go no more? I just can't go no more. It's as far as I can go. And when he couldn't go anymore, the rocks looked like a good pillar to him. You know you're at the bottom. put his head on these rocks. And he has this vision, this dream. It's a vision. One vision. Yep. One vision. And the vision was that he saw a ladder that was fixed on earth at the bottom and reached into heaven. It wasn't a four-leaf clover and five ways to get here and you know, whatever you believe kind of thing, and would you, that'll work. No. One vision, one ladder. And last time I checked, the ladder goes up and down. It doesn't do this. It goes. And on that ladder were angels doing what? Ascending and descending. You ever climbed a ladder, Mr. Fireman? You ever climbed a ladder? Now, how wide are y'all's ladders? About like this? I can assure you, and I don't know wrong. If I'm wrong, don't correct me. I'm sure they teach you when he's going up, you can't come down. You got to have the same vision. He saw angels ascending and descending, but they weren't one trying to come down while the other one's going up. One come down, another one go up. One come down, another one go up. One vision, one Lord at the top of the ladder. No confusion. No confusion. See, that sorted out all the confusion that he had. He saw one ladder that went to heaven. And when he woke up, he said, "My God, surely the Lord was in this place. Woo, and I knew it not." I got chills telling you that. Surely the Lord is in this place. I didn't even know he'd talk to me. I didn't even know he would listen to me. And now he's shown me this. Lord, he was at the bottom. And if you'll just give me food and raiment and let me go home to my father's house in peace. His vision changed. Let me tell you, the most important thing is you be saved. Most important thing is you be saved. I know you got some things you want to kill a 10-point buck. I understand that. But the most important thing is you be saved. Most important. I know y'all getting y'all a little place out there, and I'm glad y'all go. But the most important thing. Brother, I like that motorcycle you got. I don't want to ride it. But I like it. You cruise and you do your thing. But the most important thing is you be saved. And when you lose the focus of being saved, you get perplexed. And you get confused, and you start chasing other things in the world, and before long you forsake the vision that God gave you when he saved you. Or am I helping anybody tonight? Get it together and live for God with one vision, one goal. Everything else won't matter. I promise you, when you come up to glory, you none of the other stuff's going to matter but what you did for God. The Lord don't care I misspelled a word out there. Sister Baggett does, but the Lord doesn't care. He saw my efforts. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. I might just put a bunch of misspelled words up there. Huh? Yeah, that's it. Thank the Lord. I knew there was reading. What he's saying is, since it's misspelled, everybody's going to say, "Hey, you need to go read that sign. Some idiot misspelled all those words out there." Then they get to read it. Oh, thank the Lord. I feel better already. See, we're working together. That's what I'm talking about, that singleness. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. I love you and I appreciate you letting me preach to you. Let's sing a little song before we leave. Hallelujah. We need to work together for the same vision and the same cause. Hallelujah. If we all work together, it's going to happen. Love my heart, Lord.